second hour, a special guest, Anne, from the Minneapolis area, and has been a wealth of information. She's quite a good observer and is confirming many of the things we've been reporting to you for a long time now. Most especially this odor issue. We're going to take a very careful watch and see where that develops and how it goes. Anne, let's go back to your three encounters with vaxxed drivers. Let's start with number one, if you would.
Number one is that I noticed that the sitting, the blank stares on their faces, the light's green and they're not going anywhere. They're sitting there. And also another thing that I was going to bring up earlier that I didn't bring up before is that they blankly don't know what they're doing. We have a yellow arrow, which means you can go. And they're parked way back, stopped from the actual where the line is, where you stop at a light.
Sure.
And they're just sitting there, and you honk at them, and they don't respond. It's so bizarre. It's bizarre.
That is.
I see so many accidents. I actually witness a lot of accidents, which with my very own two eyes, I see accidents happening. And I've had three accidents since last November, November to April 11th. April 11th was the last accident. And this guy shoots out across, he goes across north and southbound traffic. And he's coming, he's opposite of me at an intersection. And he gets out of his vehicle and he goes, he's in denial, like he didn't even do
anything.
Wait a
minute, hold on. Yeah, I didn't hear the accident. What happened? How did he hit you?
Okay, so the accident, what happened was, I was at an intersection and he was directly across from me at the opposite intersection.
Facing you.
And he shoots out across the north and the southbound traffic. And he's not paying attention because he cannot see what's behind a van going northbound, and someone going southbound could just be right there quickly. You know, they're not paying attention to timing. That's another piece. And they're very distracted drivers, extremely distracted. And he shoots out across this traffic, hits another guy's car, and that other guy's car takes off the whole front end of my car. And the cars that I see, it is so, it's mind-boggling. It's not mind-boggling because I know what's going on, but to me, it's like every car I see is damaged. They're all damaged. Pieces are hanging off. Fenders are hanging off.
I understand. Scratched, dented, scraped. I get it.
Yes.
Yeah, they're not able to keep their perspective and their distance from what they're passing or what they're coming near
to. Exactly. Exactly.
All right, so this accident...
That's the only thing I can think from it.
All right, the accident happens. Nobody was hurt, it doesn't sound like, too badly. The guy gets out of his car. What happened?
It didn't do wonders for my back, so I'll just say that.
Okay. All right. So the cops come. The guy gets out of his car. Are you able to get out of your car?
I'm totally able to get out of my car completely.
Okay. All right. So how did the... Now, you didn't say, are you vaxxed? So you didn't know. But describe his behavior.
You want to know what I said to the police officer? I said,
yes.
These people have been vaccinated and they're not paying any attention. And the cop looked at me real dumbfoundedly. And I'm like, yeah. Barney Fife, that's exactly what's going on. It was just, you should have seen the look on his face. He was perplexed by it. And I don't know if he was actually thinking, maybe she's right, or that he's thinking my cheese has completely slipped off the cracker or something by saying that. But the behavior of the man that created the whole accident did not believe he did anything. He says, I didn't even see that other car. And I said, aha, that proves it right there. You didn't see anything because you can't. Your brain is building some.
Yeah.
It's the brain.
You're disconnected.
It's disconnected, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow, okay. Onward, go ahead.
I see a lot of people in grocery stores. I see more people on scooters and on carts, and I see people disheveled looking, like they look like they just crawled out of a, like, I don't even know what to call it, like the Night of the Living Dead. They almost look like it.
These are in supermarkets, grocery stores, what are you talking about, Walmart?
Yes.
Whatever.
Walmart, Target.
And they don't look bathed, they don't look nicely dressed, they don't look clean,
exactly.
They look lousy.
Mm. Yes, yes. And the eyes have a gaunt look to them. They're gaunt.
I've seen that.
And they don't understand plain simple English. When you talk to them, it's like you're talking to a blank wall. You know?
During a day, how often are you running into, so to speak, coming into contact with people that fit this description of being disconnected?
Oh, it's constant all day long. All day long. And you know, I can just see that because I see so many people daily that they just don't look well anymore. They look terrible. Like my neighbor across the hall, he was a smoker, and so he did get emphysema. But I asked him, did you get the vaccination by chance? And he says, yes. Oh, yes, I have to. He says, because if I don't, I could get really sick. And I'm like, maybe you are on the oxygen tank now because this vaccine has sped your process up. Yeah.
They don't want to hear it, Ann. You know that. You know that by now. They don't want to hear it.
They don't want to hear it. And a lot of people say this. They say, well, we got to die of something at some point. And I'm like, oh, my heavens. What kind of statement is that? That's not right either. Because when you read the Bible, in the Bible it says, in the beginning times, it says the people lived long lives. I think the oldest person was 900 years old. And don't quote me on who that was, but they lived clean off the land. They didn't have processed food. They didn't have vaccinations. And they had no disease. Zero disease.
It's
very possible to live a long life if you do the right thing.
Yes. All right.
And
let's go to accident number two.
Okay, so an accident number two was this girl comes off of an exit ramp. And, you know, most people would know you're coming off an exit ramp and you're entering onto ongoing traffic, going the direction you're exiting to. And I'm way, way over to the far left lane, and this is a wide intersection. And she shoots over and doesn't even see my car and takes off my rearview mirror. I got the license plate and I chased her down and I said, you're stopping. You're going to pay for this here. And she looked like she was like on drugs or something, but the police said, we know when people look like on drugs. And I said, well, then something strange about her. She, like I say, they're looking like the Night of the Living Dead. And I see so many people that have swollen ankles and feet lately. I see a lot of that. And there again, that's the circulation part. And I can almost speak psychically that they're close to death.
Yeah, the swollen ankles thing has been... people have been reporting that since last year around this time, that's a hallmark of these people that have received the vax, And that can be, you know, kidney issues or heart issues or just plain old circulation issues. It's not a good sign.
No. Most certainly is not. And
okay.
I had a gentleman today come up to me in a grocery store. And I looked at him, and it's almost like I could see that he kept himself preserved, but yet there was something odd about his appearance. He was supposed to look a lot younger, but now he's aging. And he couldn't find, this is what he asked me. He asked me for the best deal on frozen vegetables. And I said, well, you got to look in the cases, sir. I don't work for the grocery store. I work for Schwann. So, you know, and then, so I had to help him literally find broccoli. And I was like, what is this about? Why am I looking for your shopping for you? I said, do you need a personal shopper? Because you can pay me and I'll be happy to do that. You know? And then I asked, and he tried to, and then he wanted to know my name. And then he wanted to shake my hand. And I said, so this is what I do with these people. I'm like, have you been back? Because I, like, shy away from them, and then they tell me the truth. They say, oh, yeah. And I'm like, okay, well, then you need to step back, brother. Step it back, because I'm not shaking your hand. No offense to you, but I choose to not shake your hand. I think you're a swell person, but I'm not shaking your hand. And I back away from people all the time, and they keep coming closer and closer. That's another thing. It's like they have no boundaries. It's just creepy. I'm not going to kid you. It's creepy. They have
We have heard this before. They do get too close, and you do have to keep backing up. Not shaking hands is an imperative method of self-defense. You can't do that anymore. No. No touch.
Nope.
It's sad. I hate reporting it. But if you're going to have a chance to beat this stuff, you've got to do everything that you've heard about tonight and for all the other programs we've done by way of recommendations. And you found this out, you know, with your own studying. It's very important that you do that. And when they're getting close to you, they're exhaling on you. And in the exhalations, well, Erica, what's in the exhalations if they're vaxxed?
Yeah, at the very least, there's spike protein. But then the other concern is these microRNAs that are also being transmitted through exosomes. And they are biologically active, and they can have an impact on the regulation of your own immune system, among other things. I mean, that's probably why the unvaxxed are getting shingles after spending time in the presence of vax, because they're inhaling these microRNAs that are interfering with their own immune response, and depressing it, suppressing it. Hopefully that's the worst of it, and it's transient, but we really don't know. We don't know if it's going to have lasting effects on your own immune competence.
Okay,
well,
how about
speak to a very accredited man by the name of Dr. Stephen Ezra West. You can find him on Facebook. And he developed a course called Clarity University. And he and I came up with we made this during COVID because we were presenting a product that was invented by Dr. Joe McCord. And Dr. Joe McCord spent 40 years in a science lab to concoct this product, and it started out as Protandim. Now, in the interim, he's also created something much more effective called GNMX Genome. And the only thing that I can think of that I am not having any of these side effects and symptoms of my own from being around a lot of people is that I keep my NRF2 regulated. NRF2. It's a master key gene regulator. And so what happens is it works on all of your survival and disease mechanism genes, 100%. So when you study about NRF2, you'll know what it's doing. And like you said, the superoxide dismutase is another thing that Dr. Joe McCord is responsible for finding in his early 20s. And mind you, he's 70 years old now. And when Dr. Stephen Ezra West and I created we took all these genes, and you can see the levels on this. I can send you a copy of this, Jeff, if you like, just so you can see. It's a percentage suppression of cytokines by NRF2 activation. So you can see what happens in the body. And when I asked Dr. West tonight, I said, Dr. West, what is your take on this vaccine stuff? He says, definitely do not get close to people that have had a vax. And he also said, anything sexual with these people will harm you as well, because bodily fluids. And a lot of people are saying that this is going to tear down the autoimmune system. So it will be like getting AIDS without having sex. So when they have sex with a person that's been vaccinated, they are getting that same thing from that person. You can get it through sweat, tears, and sex, all of the above.
All body fluids. You're right.
He says that those are things we have to stay away from now. We cannot be running around doing those things. You know, we're living in way different times right now. And so moving forward, I take NRF2, and we spoke about NAC earlier on.
Yes.
And I also do MMS. Now, my herbologist that I know, he's in Georgia, and he visits with a lot of, he's a naturopathic healer, and he visits with a lot of people that have been vaccinated, and he's healthy. So I think we do stand a chance as long as we don't get vaccinated and we do keep our distance and, you know, wear some type of a mask around when we're
out. That's exactly our
recommendation. Exactly. The one you recommended is fantastic. The only thing is you don't want to wear a mask for too long, because it will kill brain cells.
You need to go into a store for 20 minutes, a half an hour, put a mask on, give yourself that little bit of extra protection, come outside, take it off, breathe the air.
Yes.
You'll be okay.
Yes, exactly.
So, you're very, very well informed, and you've done a lot of your own research. Erica, any comments on what she's offering here?
Yeah, that's all fine. I mean, it you know, shores up your natural defenses. I mean, this is just one big experiment. I mean, time will tell. You know, whether or not these things that are being transmitted have a lasting effect. I mean, we are dealing with some very sophisticated synthetic nanotechnology biology, and I'm not convinced that there's anything natural that's available to cope with that. I think the body is really at an extreme disadvantage once this stuff gets into you. I mean, 20 years of Morgellons research, and then some of these people have really pulled out all the stops to try to find a cure, and they can't. I mean, synthetic biology is extremely dangerous, and the fact that these people are willingly injecting themselves with this stuff is just mind-blowing, absolutely mind-blowing.
It is.
Do we have a third crash?
Yes, we do. The other crash was that they said that this was my fault. But however, when you weigh it out, nowadays, because of this whole ordeal with the pandemic, I want to call it, is that we don't have any more auto-adjust. The people that come out and they assess an accident, they don't do that so much anymore. They're only looking at pictures of your car. And it's interesting because these insurance companies have to be really, really... I talked to my insurance agent the other day. I said, are you seeing an increase in accidents? And she goes, my heavens, yes. And so I got that straight from the insurance company's mouth. And when the third accident was where this girl and apparently a guy were traveling. I don't know what relation they were to each other. However, I should have been able to cross over and get out of the intersection and make it across that road. But she was traveling at super. She sped up. She sped up. To this day, I don't know.
Yellow light.
Do it on purpose.
She tried to beat. She tried to beat the red light on yellow.
Well, there was no red light for her. That's the whole thing. There was no red light. Yeah,
well,
there were no lights at either the ongoing traffic or me entering into that onto that road, and so. When the police asked her, do you know what happened? She goes, I don't know what happened. Now imagine that.
I don't know what happened.
I don't know what happened. Neither party knew what happened. They weren't even watching. So that says something to me.
And
the fact that...
Erica, I'm... We've talked about this, but I think, honestly, as time goes on and the increase in misfolded proteins in the body, which happens whether you want it to or not, dear friends, extends into the brain, which it will, I think what we're seeing here is clear evidence of misfolded prion-type brain damage. These people are damaged goods, and they're getting worse.
Yeah, there's that aspect to it. There's the autoimmune aspect to it, a T-cell driven autoimmunity. So whatever cell gets transfected with this mRNA and starts to produce spike protein, your immune system is going to see that and destroy that tissue. And we know these things are getting into the brain, so there's certainly inflammation in the brain, and that can result in impairment, cognitive impairment or psychiatric symptoms in some cases. And then the amyloids that come along or that build over time from either the inflammation or the protein misfolding. It's a bad scene. And this, I don't believe it's just happening in one organ. This is systemic.
Don't get hung up on thinking this is just in the brain. It can be anywhere from the bottom of your little toe to the top of your head. And
certainly the organs that are most metabolically active, like the heart or the brain, are prime targets and would be churning out probably a lot of this stuff. But the lungs, the kidneys, there's a lot of people reporting kidney issues. And, of course, you know, if your kidneys are not working properly and not filtering your blood, you can get neurological symptoms from that alone. You know, the toxins build
swelling up
in the bloodstream. Yep, swelling.
In the feet, ankles.
Yeah,
yeah. There you go.
It's a bad scene all the way around. So you've got T-cell-driven autoimmunity. You've got derangement in your protein regulation, so you're producing lots and lots of a foreign protein at the expense of your own protein, so things are really,
protein.
Really messed up.
Right.
Yeah, that's what we know of. I mean, whatever's in here or in these injections, they could be coding for anything, really.
It's true.
But let's just say it's you know, the spike protein, which is toxic in and of itself. It's biologically active. It's neurotoxic.
We are literally discovering, Erica, is new things all the time, new angles, new dimensions in terms of how this injection can kill or lead to catastrophic breakdowns in health and then death. And it's not, it's, this is really, it's like being trapped in the worst black horror sci-fi movie you can imagine, and you can't get out of it. Somehow you can survive if you're really careful and commit yourself to taking the best possible care of yourself in circumstances that most people wouldn't give another thought to. So it's a real challenge. These are crazy times. And we've got to run. Thank you very much for sharing what you shared
tonight.
My pleasure.
It was really, I love this. I'm so glad that somebody is putting this information out. And,
well,
you know, because I thought.
We want you to come back.
I'd love to come back again.
All right. Well, you're invited. So we'll bring you back here in a few months and catch up and see what you're seeing. And in the meantime, keep up the good work in terms of taking care of yourself. I would suggest not really trying to help people anymore. I think those days are gone. They've made their choice. They've got 3, 4, 5, 6 shots, and their destiny is their destiny, and there's not much we can do about it except pray for the children. They're giving them now at 6 months, babies up to 5 years.
Yes.
Pfizer, Moderna. And now Moderna wants to turn that down to 3 months. 3 months. This is this is the planet Satan now. It's turning that bad.
I'll say one last thing before I go. Dr. West and I were speaking tonight. He goes, if you think COVID-19's bad, it's mutating into a million other types of viruses or what have you.
Yeah.
It's mutating.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It is.
Okay, Anne, thank you.
And
I'm going
to. 1,000 to a million. It's a million. I believe that the number is a million. It's only going to get worse.
Yes. And thanks to Dr. Betty Martini for making this possible, your friend and our friend. And thank you, Betty. And thank you again, Anne. And we will talk.
Okay, we will. My pleasure.
Okay. All right.
Thank you, Anne.
Good night.
To
good
all
night.
Of us, and bless you all.
Thank you.
Okay, well, there you go. I'm sure a lot of you have similar experiences and would like to share them. So consider that done in your case if she matched up with your thoughts and your observations. The odor thing is a real... That's the new one. That's kind of a hot new topic. We'll watch that real carefully. If you have anything you want to share, email it on in, and we'll take a look. Okay, we have Therapist 1 and Therapist 2.
Yeah. So this is another report in social media. A healthcare worker describing scenes from the front line.
Go ahead.
Okay. I'm a physical therapist in acute care. I have also done some pediatrics in the outpatient setting recently. Things are bad, really bad. The carnage is real. Many children are suffering from POTS, Guillain-Barré syndrome, and seizures. The adult population in the acute care setting are getting younger and younger. The cognitive deficits are getting worse. So many patients resemble what can only be described as mad cow disease or zombie-like behavior in humans.
No.
Patients are impulsive, aggressive, and without inhibition. Many do not know who they or their family members are anymore. They can no longer care for themselves and are declining physically as well as mentally. So many have cardiovascular and neurological issues, as well as unusual infectious diseases that are literally taking their lives. The amount of deaths are like I have never seen in over 20 years in this field. We are calling security multiple times per day, and sitters are now having to be in so many of the patient rooms for patient and staff safety, something that was rarely seen in the hospital setting before the vax rollout. This is literally a war zone. Sadly, most of the patients have no idea what has made them so sick. May God help us when the pediatric population explodes from the recent authorization to give this poison to ages 6 months and older.
And if you looked at the home page at the bottom graphic slideshow, you'll see that one coffin manufacturer has received an enormous order for child-sized caskets. So it's happening. It's not going to happen. It's not might happen. It is happening. And this is just, it's hard to believe. It's true. Okay, what's next? We have
Want to get back to some of these
readers?
Okay, so that's about a 30-minute interview. I don't know, you know, if he is giving his latest this was an interview where he describes the clots, the composition of the clots.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this is fairly new. Yeah, it is fairly new. It's the latest from Ryan Cole, who's probably one of the top pathologists in the country in what he's seeing in the cancers.
We'll pick that apart and play some segments of it maybe Monday. I haven't been able to look at it yet. Okay, back to readers. There's just a few here before we get into behaviors. So let me do these three, and then you can start with behaviors, which we've talked about at some length tonight. They're talking about the odor issue. I smell a scent. Yes, it's in the air. And someone writes back and says, yes, like an industrial floor cleaner, detergent, or what someone else here described, like porta potty chemicals. This is what I noticed too. Someone else said sulfur and rotten eggs. And a few months ago, someone else described rotting flesh odor. I wonder if smells differ according to the brand of jab and which country they're in. Another one adds, I have felt it too, in quotes, felt. Some are just completely changed as humans. It's sick. It's evil. Another one, I have a friend who has had Novacrap, that's the Novavax so-called vaccine, and I can smell it on her from one, I assume, meter away. And her husband has since had a headache, which doesn't typically get for 4 days, and nothing could fix the pain in his head. I guess she meant which he doesn't typically get. This is, again, social media writing, so it's not punctuated in many cases and so forth. And the last one we had from our smells section, I smell rotten eggs. It's gross. Another time I was smelling an undertone of, I thought, of undertone of poop. I thought I was going crazy. I was worried for my olfactory, in fact. LOL, but thanks to everyone on here who's smelling similar things, I can relax knowing that when a double is in my home, they're going to leave a smell. I think he means devil.
Or double-vaxxed.
Double-vaxxed. It even hangs around when they are gone. It's just so weird. Hard to get my head around because I've never experienced this in my entire life. So that was our first half of readers dealing with this weird smell. Now we move into the behavior section. Go ahead.
Okay. This person says, hi, y'all. I have a question for those who have partners or / ex-partners who are quadruple jabbed and that have kids and who have kids with them. My ex was always pretty flexible where possible. We co-parented quite well. Hiccups. We both tried our best. Sometimes he even bothered to consider something I found important regarding the kids. Since his fourth jab, yes, I'm a medical researcher, so I know why, not only has anger and aggression increased, as I expected, but also spite, hatred, chastising the kids, trying to parent alienate, and without or withholding requests to assist the kids when it's his visitation, even if it's obviously to the child's benefit. Can others in similar situations please confirm if you are experiencing the same type of behavior? It's getting alarming now.
So this is the mother talking about the father who got shot up. Fourth time. Four shots. and he is now exhibiting spite, hatred, chastising the kids, trying to parent, alienate, and withholding requests to assist the kids when it's his visitation. Total change in attitude. Go ahead.
Someone replies to that. Yes, my husband's vaxxed baby mama and 14-year-old that we have part-time have become unbearable to deal with. She, the mother, was a nightmare before, but now she's turned the 14-year-old daughter against us, and she has been obstinate as heck. Honestly, I wear black tourmaline whenever she comes over. Sometimes I do protection spells because I feel these people are operating on a satanic energy level. Not to mention, I get extreme fatigue when she comes over and sheds on us.
Okay, that's an important little ender there. Shedding, again, is more than real, as I think all of you realize now. And she gets extreme fatigue when this person comes over, the vaxxed person, and sheds on us. She knows she's being shed upon and impacted, and yet they still come over. All right, one more. Go ahead.
I think this is the same person talking, replying to a different post. Same. My teenage stepdaughter and granddaughter said they want to punch people in the face for the slightest things. It's like they have zero self-awareness and compassion, but they are also teenagers. Shaking my head. They've gotten so entitled. I'm glad we only see them part-time.
See, this, okay. Now, this is interesting. Aggression in teenagers. I saw a bunch of teenagers the other day, and they were drinking. They were 15, 14, 15, 16. They were half drunk. They were going to a party, and they were so rude. I couldn't believe it. And they were yelling at each other, some laughter, some anger, some name-calling. Just, it's everywhere now. What are these? What kind of future do these teenagers have? I'm not talking about all of them, but many of them who have been shot up, they're gone. They're literally beginning to fall apart psychologically, emotionally, morally. They're gone. I mean, these kids are having sex at 10, 11 years old now, or maybe even younger.
Well, we do know that when the brain is inflamed, there's a tendency towards hostile behavior.
Go ahead and finish off this little group here.
Okay. Someone else says, I have noticed my family and friends that are jabbed are very short-tempered now. Another one says... where are we here?
I can relate to that. That's what it says. Next one.
Yes, I can relate to that.
Yeah.
Wife has been boosted, and now that I have COVID, she gets angry when I even mention I use ivermectin. I think this mechanism is in play. She feels that not taking the jabs is a denial and rejection of the medical consensus she believes in. In short, a rejection of her.
Yeah.
Next one. Personality changes, yes. Perhaps they unconsciously know what they're in for. Perhaps it's spiritual. I know of a quadrupled vaxxed man trying to molest the women in his family, masturbating in public. I'd be careful. Things are only going to get worse.
These are not small deviations in normal personalities. These are major changes in most cases. All right,
yeah.
Here we go into shedding now. We've got Erica put a number together for us. I've never gotten the death shots, but was around vaxxed people at my work, a food bank in Washington State, as a client services director through my last pregnancy. Went into labor at 32 weeks, and after being sent home, I got real sick, like I was about to pass out when going to the restroom. Then a gush of blood came out, and we made it back to the local hospital where they ended up giving me an emergency C-section after I had my placenta ruptured. This is from being shed upon? Grateful, my son answered. They were both saved last night, and he is healthy now, I guess the baby. But he was sent back to the hospital that sent us away, and we were there for 17 days with him, his little baby. They would have kept us there longer, but we advocated for him and didn't leave his side, doing all of his cares, even called the cops on us twice, did the hospital, because I wouldn't wear a mask. And then when we were trying to take our son home in the end, it was the worst experience of my life. Didn't think anything of the connection of all the shedding from clients at my job until we got home. And now I am nervous to have to go back to work next month when my maternity leave ends. Will being around vax people again affect my baby since I am nursing? I think we can make a pretty good guess at the answer to that question.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Hi, everyone. I'm so glad I found this group. I seem to have to stay away from people altogether. Shedding, or whatever it is, gets my lungs and heart first. Hugs and handshakes are almost deadly to me now. A simple hug. If I don't get away immediately upon feeling chest pain, congestion, and take ivermectin, vitamin C, D3, K, zinc, HCQ, I get very, very sick for over a month. Blood tests show my kidneys are failing now. And then I get sick from exposure to the phlebotomists who are vaxxed. Her kidneys are failing.
I know.
I scan for available Bluetooth devices when I'm in public. There are so many unnamed devices walking around. I'm practically living on ivermectin. Without it, I can't breathe. It's very scary. How can I be around other people again? I'm an unvaxxed healthcare worker. Will I ever be able to work again? S.O.S. Go ahead.
Someone asked what
symptoms.
What symptoms do you get? And this person says, every time I go to a supermarket, I have an itchy rash. Do I have to stay in a room with jabbed for a longer time? I also have pressure on my lungs and heart, eye infection, irregular menstruation, and I'm always very tired after the shedding. I work mostly from home, so often I just have to be 1 to 2 times a week out and about for about a half hour around the jabbed, but already that is too much.
See, they're not going out because they're sick. These are the unvaxxed. The vaxxed are all automatically sick, but the unvaxxed can't escape it unless they learn, tragically, to stay away from the vax. That's not what we're on this planet for, but that's what is mandatory now if you want to stay reasonably healthy. If this woman's kidneys fail, well, another tombstone marker. Go ahead.
Another person says, I have the same problem. I feel like it's getting worse month after month. Last December to now, my reaction is so much worse. Are you seeing that too? I am wondering if it's them shedding more or me reacting more.
Go on.
Next one. I have a friend who opposed all vaxes but decided upon Novavax. Her husband, unvaxxed, explained how he had excruciating headaches that truckloads of Nurofen, that's ibuprofen, could not fix for days. I am convinced it was shedding. Plus, I could smell it when I was around there. It affected my eyes, nose, and throat. So if someone believes this is an opinion, then that's their choice. To me, I react to shedding and the smell from all of them except J&J, which I don't know of someone whose company I have been in to properly identify. So that is sort of interesting with the Novavax, if those people are also exuding a smell, because that's supposed to just be no mRNA, no adenovirus. It's just the spike protein.
No graphene oxide. Nothing well, but spike, supposedly.
Supposedly, and then the adjuvant matrix M, which is
right.
a type of saponin. But that's is it the spike that's creating these I don't know, these biological responses that produce this type of odor?
This smell thing is taking on some rather sizable dimensions now. I'm going to keep watching that. And again, if any of you have experiences, by all means, just send them in. Kissing and skin contact is enough. It's definitely airborne. I've not hugged or kissed any jabbed folks, just passed by them in common areas and received parcels from jabbed delivery drivers and rode in vehicles driven by jabbed drivers. And the person adds, I know, I also do not have contact with jabbed, just if I'm in the supermarket. I'm around them, and even that is too much for me. And I would ask again, how do you know who the hell's vaxxed and who isn't? You don't know. So you have to basically assume that 80% is probably most like 80% in the store you're in. Just as a round number. Say 75, whatever, 3 out of 4. I get very sick hugging vaccinated people or touching them and breathing near them. It starts with a feeling of pneumonia in the center of my chest. I take ivermectin right away. And I lost it. I lost the page. Here it is. Okay. It jumped on me. I take ivermectin right away when I feel this heavy, hollow, strange sensation. Repeated contact will sicken. Again, now get this. This is an unvaxxed person. Repeated contact with the vaxxed will sicken and disable me for 4+ weeks. A month. So is this person out driving around? Let's hope not. I didn't think I'd survive this last round. I was so weak. This is unvaxxed. I could not sit up in a chair. A workout, when I started to feel better, was to sit in a chair without using the backrest. That was a workout? I don't dare get a massage. It would probably kill me. I'm a certified X-ray technologist, unemployed. I would like to see an unvaxxed only place to do health care and massage, and all work, shopping, social, whatever. So she was talking about getting a massage would probably kill her. She's a masseuse. That's what this rub is, I see. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, I think this is the last one for this. I get pressure in my lungs and heart also. I take ivermectin horse paste. It works right away. I keep a tube in my purse, doses by weight. I noticed that a restaurant smelled like too much Lysol. It was really unbearable, but my husband didn't notice it. We left immediately. It was so bizarre to see people just sitting there talking and enjoying their food with that horrible smell all around.
There it is. All right. Thank you so much. Right now I'm okay. My cat Emma has 2 prions and chronic wasting disease, as well as started going into kidney failure. My cat Emma has 2 prions. Obviously she doesn't know how many prions the cat has.
I'm not sure what she's getting at there.
And chronic wasting disease, CWD, which is in deer, is prion disease of the brain. All right, so maybe she's trying to say the cat has failing cognitive abilities. I don't know. As well as started going into kidney failure. I am not even seeing my mom anymore until she stops putting our lives at risk. Does anyone here know why some of us are sensitive and others are not? Go ahead.
Okay, this is the last one regarding a dog. Anybody got experience getting rid of adverse effects of COVID vaccine shedding and transmission in dogs. Otherwise, active, happy, healthy dog has been exposed to double-jabbed people and is since losing weight, listless, does not eat well, generally unwell. Is borax safe for dogs as a possible vax-shedding solution?
Okay, the last one. I cannot sit in parks or restaurants. I get burning afterwards. I wonder why we're so sensitive and most aren't. Maybe we're all from some planet where something happened, or our DNA was changed eons ago. Okay, so you have a whole wide range of people obviously reaching out for help. They don't know what's happening to them. They do understand shedding, and they do react to it in some cases immediately. Some people being disabled for a month. One woman with potential kidney failure, not injected, not shot up.
Mm-hmm.
And this, believe me, the creators of this hideous bioweapon knew all about this. They knew there would be shedding. Even Dr. Malone said, and we've had it on video, they gamed this. In other words, they ran simulations through supercomputers for over 20 years. And I forget how many countries he said did it. It was over 20, I think. There was a big concerted effort to see where this would go, how it would manifest, how it would show up, etc. Well, they know. They know. They're way ahead of us. And here are people reaching out for help. And what help can we give them?
Yeah, I you know, avoidance. At a certain point, it's about avoidance.
Pretty dreadful. And I repeat again, forgive the repetition, Moderna is trying now to get permission to give that bioweapon to 3-month-old babies. Babies.
Yeah, they just started a clinical trial, I think, with 700.
I think
the number
was,
they have.
Yeah, I think you're right.
3 to 6 months old, yeah.
I can't even believe it. I just can't believe it. Okay, that's it for Friday. Thanks to all of you very much for your support, for your interest, for your care and concern. You know where the articles are on the right-hand side of the homepage. They're all there categorized.